I'm Jessica.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastor's Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastor's wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastor's wives' stereotypes within the church.
We want pastor's wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. This is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Hey friends, welcome back to Pastor's Wives Tell All. Today, we are excited to introduce you to our friend, Shevis Phillips. Shevis is a dynamic worship leader, a mom to the most adorable little girls, and wife to her best friend. In this episode, Shevis shares her unique testimony of redemption. She was once a wild child, unwilling to be tamed by anyone. A strong, independent woman by nature, but she didn't know Jesus. Through her husband's salvation after they were married and his consistent prayers and patience with her stubbornness, she eventually found Christ, and nothing has been the same since. Now, instead of spending her Saturday nights entertaining patrons in the bar through music, she leads her church in worship to Jesus on Sundays. Shevis reminds us that even messy, ugly pasts can be redeemed, and that even when we feel like we don't fit in with the churchy women surrounding us, God still loves to use us. So let's get to this important conversation. Hey, Shevis, we are so excited to have you on the podcast with us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
We're just excited to see your face. It has been a while.
We love you so much.
And we're going to party right now.
Listen.
The four of us.
I'm excited.
So for our listeners, we actually met Shevis a few months ago in the little town of Bethlehem. We attended a women's conference there at Bethlehem Church, and it was insane amazing.
So good.
And I will just say, you are probably the most anointed worship leader I think I have ever watched lead worship.
I concur.
On a stage. Like, still to this day, like, hands down. It was incredible. The way you stirred up the room and like brought worship. And it was crazy. Amazing.
Like, we were at the feet of Jesus. Like, you were just like, come meet my friend, Jesus.
Like, well, you can just see like that you are actually like, it's like you are in a conversation, as I hold up air quotes, but conversation, like you were worshiping Jesus and you were standing right there in front of him. And like it is very evident.
Oh yeah. So. Even over a video, like, you know, it's Jesus when over a video, like it's still like,
it's different
working. I mean, because my husband, I was like, you have to hear this woman. Like, she is anointed. And he was listening and he was like, yeah, there's something different about
her. Yeah, for sure. And I'm not even talking about your voice, which, by the way, is equally as anointed. But I was just I'm just speaking about your presence on stage right now. Like, just amazing. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about all the things. And I can't wait to hear your story. But we want you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your family, what you do, all the things.
Well, first of all, I just want to say you three are still, I told y'all this when I met y'all, the most encouraging human beings I have ever been around. I remember meeting y'all the first time and I was like, oh my word, I just want to be around y'all all the time and be encouraged. So thank you for those kind words. That means a lot to me coming from you ladies. So and I love y'all. I'm so glad that we get to do this right now. But yes, my name is Shevis, and I am married. I'm a wife. I'm a mama. So I've been married 13 years to my high school sweetheart, as I put up air quotes. And I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they're both girls, and they are wild. And so I'm in ministry. Obviously, I'm a worship leader, and I'm on staff full-time at our church, Bethlehem Church. My husband works full time as well. And so it feels like we go 110 miles an hour all the time. And so it's the kindness of the Lord to kind of just slow the time that we have at home down, slow down the time that we can prepare. You know how it is when you have little kids. I talk to all of you about this. So that's the season we're in, and it's wild and it's fun. Our church is growing. We live in Winder, Georgia, which it's as interesting as it sounds. And I grew up not far from here. So I never wanted to live in Winder. I was like, we had the option to move out here when we got married, and we looked at a couple houses and I was like, I ain't moving out here. And then, you know, we got saved and asked me what my zip code is. And so it's just wild. The Lord, how he just brings things full circle, and how he's just growing this area. And so our church is just planted slap dab in the middle, and the church is over 100 years old. So we're in the process of building a new facility up 2 miles up the road. It's just, it's literally wild, but it is the funnest. We try not to get overwhelmed because we know, like, we're in the days that we're going to talk about with our grandkids. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're going to go, y'all, these are the things that we saw, and I hope that, you know, it continues through them. So,
yeah, that's good.
Oh, Chevis. So many things going through my head right now. I'm so pumped about this conversation for all the reasons we've said already. But we also have a lot of listeners who, that they're church leaders, but we have so many who reach out and say, I don't feel good enough. I feel like my past is just like right there, just screaming at me. And you would think, I think the picture we have in our head is that if you are a pastor of any sort or a pastor's wife, a worship leader, whatever position you have in the church, that you have it together and that your past isn't too messy. It might be a little messy. You know, we all got to have a testimony.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there are still people who are scared to share their testimony, like to the full extent, because they're going, God, like, why are you even using me? Like, what if people think less of me, or they think, well, I mean, that's pretty rough, or that's hard, or I don't know. And we get in our head about our former sins, and we're not living in the present where we are saved and that those things are covered, even when we're leaders, like leaders struggle with this. And I don't know. We heard a little bit from you. I think you or somebody on your staff, I can't remember who actually said it from the stage, but said something about you being a tornado in your past, like referred to you as that. And I'm curious because right now, like we said, like you are anointed. Like we know the Lord is using you and he's going to do great things with you. But we're curious about your testimony, like your family life growing up. How were you that tornado? And then how did you actually come to know Jesus and how he changed you from all of that?
Yes. So I, from a little girl, I was born an extrovert. And so as long as I can remember, I have been referred to as natural disasters because I was buck wild. And also, you know, my parents, they got a divorce when I was two. And so my mom, she's very independent. Bless my mom. She went to so many parent-teacher conferences. I had so many behavioral issues. I was diagnosed with ADHD in elementary school, medicated, you know, all the things. My poor mother. But we moved a lot. And so there was just not a whole lot of consistent things in my upbringing. That's kind of what I see looking back on this side. You know, I look back and I'm like, this is probably where the behavioral issues came from. But my mom and dad, they both got remarried. And so, you know, when you're young and you're processing through, like, this whole other person is living at your house, you're at your dad's every other weekend, he's got a whole nother family as well. You never feel welcome anywhere, you know? So you just kind of, I decided who I was going to be, where I was going to fit in. And so I think that, you know, that verbiage definitely is accurate. But I think that it was created by circumstances, but also just born extroverted, you know, like an extrovert, like whether you're happy or you're mad, you're loud about it, especially if you're unhealthy, you know? And so I did have an ADHD diagnosis. I did struggle when I was medicated with anger and rage and things like that. And my house wasn't super healthy. I wasn't raised in a very healthy environment. Definitely wasn't raised in church. And so I actually met my husband on the school bus in seventh grade.
Wow.
And so we became friends, little best friends who were just exactly raised in very similar environments. And, you know, we became everything we said we would never be. And we started dating in high school. We got married 2 years after high school. We immediately moved out. So this is cool. I want to add this in there. My husband is he's always been very sensitive to the Lord. Anytime we went to church services in high school, whether it was Easter or Christmas or just randomly, it was always his idea. And I remember when we got married, up to the point of deciding to get married, we always said, why would you ruin a perfectly good relationship with a marriage? And so one morning I wake up and he's just sitting on the edge of our bed and he looks at me and he was like, Chev, we're not living right. We got to get married. And I was like, okay. And so within a couple of months we were engaged, and then, you know, we got married just 6 months after that. So, and we struggled. We did everything that the world says you're supposed to do. We did everything on the outside. We were very successful. How the world defines success. We got married. Mm-hmm. We were 20 years old. We bought a house. It was 2011. Mm-hmm. And so, it was in the middle of a recession. So we bought a really cheap house. We lived under our means. We both had full-time jobs, which was a miracle in of itself. We were both struggling knee deep in alcoholism. He struggled with a lot of just really dark things that I wasn't even aware of at the time. He struggled with suicidal ideation. He struggled with depression. And just looking back on that and how we just kind of, we had just come into agreement that like, this was our life. This is who we are. And thank God the Lord had other plans. So someone gave us tickets to this event happening at this church, this big church that was local. And y'all remember the show Duck Dynasty?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Robertsons? Okay. So Jace came and he spoke at this just outdoor event, you know. And we went. It was very cool. There was thousands of people there. It was like really powerful. And my husband tells a story like this. He's like, he talked about duck calls for like 10 minutes and then he whipped out the Bible and he shared the gospel. And I don't even remember that. You know how like sometimes you're somewhere with someone and they have an experience there and you're like, I don't think I was in the same room as you, but I
yes.
what happened, you know? And so the next morning, the same thing with the marriage thing. Remember the story about our marriage? Like we're not living right. So I wake up, it was Sunday morning. That event was on a Saturday night. And he said, Chevis, when Jace did that last night and he did that prayer and that altar call, he goes, I didn't go down front, but I prayed with him. And he was like, and I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't even know what I'm saying, but I want to follow Jesus. I've never done it and I want to try. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, we're going to see how long this lasts, you know? Mm-hmm. And so immediately his life started to look different than before. And there was no denying something happened to him. Something has happened. And I fought it for a very long time. He did go to church. I often would not go. I would hide his keys some Sunday mornings just to try to piss him off, like just try to start a fight, you know. And I didn't get down on the church thing. I thought church women were hoity-toity. I was like, I'm cut from a different cloth than they are. Like, this is not I'm the tornado, you know. I was raised in a certain environment, and that was who I was. That was part of my identity. And so it was about a year and a half of Josh just, thank the Lord, having the people, God-ordained people in his life that prayed for him and prayed for me and prayed for us in our marriage, because I was waiting on him to like say the word. Like I was totally fine getting a divorce. And he was the one that was in 1 Corinthians going, yeah, that's not what this book says, but he ain't gonna talk to me about that because I didn't believe anything about, you know. And so it was a very hard season for us. Really not for us, for him, because looking back, I just gave him as much crap as I could. But he knew the possibilities if I were to encounter the same Jesus that he had encountered. Mm-hmm. And so he prayed for me in that way. He used to lay outside the door. I had a music room and I would do bar gigs and stuff like that. I've always sang, you know, it just wasn't used in the right way. But he'd lay outside the door and he would pray that the Lord would set me free. Mm-hmm. And he would walk. I remember watching him walk the driveway. Like I would see him. We had like a driveway. It was like, I don't know, 200 yards, 100 yards long. And he would be out there just walking it. And he's like using his hands and he was just praying for me. He had a prayer closet. And the prayer closet was in my music room because it was the only like useful closet. Everything else was just full. And so there was like an amp in there. And I noticed one time, like there was this little seat that he had put on top of the, and I was like, are you sitting in here? I asked him that. I was like, do you just sit in here? So then I don't even think he remembers this, but I remember like when I would go in my music room, I would open the door to see if he was in there to make sure before I like started working on my stuff. Cause I was like, you just sit in here. Like, what do you do? It's so weird. But it was like a prayer closet, you know? And so he would go in there and lock himself in there when no one was home, and that's where he would pray. And so it's just cool to see, the, you know, his faithfulness through that time. He tells a story of a time where I was out at a bar. He called and asked me to come home, and I told him no. And I remember this. I was like, if you're going to do this and you're going to like run my life and tell me where I'm allowed to go and not allowed to go on Friday or Saturday nights, like, you can go ahead and write it off. Sign the dotted line. Like, I'm done here. And he said, he hung up the phone with me, and he said the enemy told him, you could end all this right now and go get your wife at that bar. All this will be over. All this stress, all this drama, all this divorce talk, like, go get her. Go back to your old life. And he said, the Lord was like, get on your knees and pray for her. And so he did. And I, you know, through that time, and I can't share my testimony without sharing parts of his, because it's so much of why I am the way that I am and who I am today. And so I just remember, there was some Sunday mornings, and I say this to all the people with spouses that are not Christians, you're being watched in your own home. And whether or not you realize it, like, you don't have the power, but the Holy Spirit that lives in you, your spouse cannot deny it or outrun it. And I remember he'd get up sometimes and he'd go to church and he'd always ask, like, you want to go? And I'd always say no. And I remember hearing the voice of the Lord. I didn't know it at the time, but like, I couldn't go back to sleep. Like, I couldn't stay asleep. And I would hear, get up, get up. And I remember one time specifically, I physically like threw the covers off and I yelled, okay, I'll get up. And I went and got dressed, got in my car, drove to the church, waited till Sunday school was over. Cause y'all know that's just too much for a lost girl. Like, walking in 12 people, it's like awkward. One of them was like a teacher from high school that we had. And I was like, we don't live far enough away from the house to go to church anywhere. Oh, like, I just, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But she ended up being, incredible. But I just softened. The Lord called me in and just softened my heart and just melted my heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And so I started going like to church with him. I started going to revivals. I remember the spiritual warfare being so real. So just, I got to get in the car after a revival or a revival service or a church service or whatever. And I'll be like, don't ever ask me to go there again. Ever. I'm not going back there. And he would just be like, okay, like, awkward. What do you say? I don't know. Yeah. Why was I the way that I was? Because it was spiritual warfare. Yeah. And when you get in God's presence like that, like, it demands a response. You have to do something with it. You know, when the gospel is presented, you got to do something with it. And so I just kept putting myself in those situations because things were happening in me. There was, you know, there were shifts happening. And the scripture says, you know, you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. And I know, I remember the night that I believed in my heart, and it wasn't for a couple of months. I confessed with my mouth a couple of months after that. but about a year and a half after he came to know Jesus, I gave my life to the Lord. And then it was like a domino effect of just the things that we've experienced, the doors that the Lord opened for us that I didn't even know existed. And so, yeah, it, wow. Our story is, when you live in a story, your stories, when you've lived it, it's like, okay, we need to stop talking about it. But it's so encouraging for me even to think and to share it because it's kind of the opposite. Most of the time it's the women that get saved and then their husbands are like, no. And so it's right. Like ours is the opposite. So I'm kind of like ashamed of that. I'm like, why was I such a dingbat? but then I realized like I'm the one that's in the room, you know, at a women's conference with a bunch of women that are spiritually leading their families and they're hoping that their husbands get set free. And I'm one of the ones who is on the receiving end of prayers like that.
Right.
And so that's the cool part that I've realized about our testimony is I'm like, do not give up on praying.
Yes.
Whether you're a husband or a wife, like your spouse will receive the overflow of your blessing. Mm-hmm. Do not discredit the work that the Lord can do.
Wow.
So yeah, that's a little bit, that's the start of our story.
Chevis, just the part where you're talking about sharing that testimony because you were that person on the receiving end. And I think that's the power of our testimony. When we share it, people hear it, but they don't just hear it. Like the Lord can use that. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, this is you. This is for you. And I think he takes all of our messy things, our messy parts, and turns them into just something absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
That can speak into other women. And that's what we want people listening to hear. Like, God can use your story. Don't hide it. Don't act like you're better than other people. as you're serving the church. Yeah. With air quotation marks.
Yeah.
But share your testimony.
To just add to Stephanie what she's saying, like, also don't be afraid to share the hard moments of your testimony. Yeah. Like, don't just do like a skim over. Yeah. Like, talk about the nitty gritty, because it's going to reach people, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, as people have already heard, you are now a worship leader. And so you were saved about a year and a half after your husband. Mm-hmm. And then you said that doors started to open. Mm-hmm. So kind of tell us how you felt the calling on your life to become a worship leader and, you know, to get you where you are now.
Yes, the door part is very significant, because I did not even know what a worship leader was. I'd never heard that title in my whole life. and so, you know, we went to a smaller Baptist church when I got saved. That's where we had been going. That's where Josh had been going, and he had found community there. He'd found men to speak into his life there. I obviously had not fully bought into the community aspect of it yet. I just wasn't there yet, you know, but those people prayed for us. Those people were, they knew the state that we were in, and they loved the heck out of us through the entire thing. All the way to when I got saved, I gave my life to Jesus in the choir room at that church. And I had not even ever sang in a church or anything like that. Like, that wasn't, you know, part of my story. And so, I did get invited to do what they would call like the special, you know?
Yeah.
And so I sang, yes, that was like, I was the special, you know, it was just like, I was like, what the heck, you know, you want me to sing what? And so they asked me, if I would do How Great Thou Art. I didn't even know the hymn. I had to learn it. So I didn't know a lot of hymns outside of, I learned a lot. I'm thankful for the time that we were at that church, because, just learning those old songs like that, you know, and about community and about deacons and what to know. I didn't know any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord, 6 months after I got saved, the Lord formed a relationship between Josh and I and the worship pastor of this church that I'm at now, and his wife, through mutual friends at the church that we attended. He came to do a revival. And we started talking after, and he was like, my wife said that you like to sing. And I had met her a couple of times, and they had never heard me sing. No one really had, except for the one time I sang How Great Thou Art at that church. But I mean, other than that, you know, it wasn't ever about singing. And I was no longer singing in the bar and stuff. So, you know, I didn't really have that at all anymore. Mm-hmm. And so my call to ministry was more of just the Lord opening doors that I didn't know existed, and me just blindly walking through them and not even realizing what was happening, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And like the first time I stepped foot in Bethlehem Church, I had never even been here before, was for an audition for a worship team. I had no idea. You know, they had Saturday night services. He was like, I don't want to pull you away from what you're doing at your home church, but we have Saturday nights, come audition. We would just love to get you involved, you know? And I sat down with them and I sang the one song that I knew, which was at the time, How Great Thou Art, like the contemporary Christian. Like, mm-hmm. our church was a smaller Baptist church. We did not do contemporary worship. It was an acoustic and keys, and that's it. And I remember Joel asking me, he said, do you know why you can sing? And I was like, I mean, both my parents are musicians, like as far back as you can look on both sides of my family, like everybody sings, everybody plays. That's just the way it is. And he just kind of like chuckled and was like, yeah, no, you're, he just called me forth to my destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, he was kind of one of the first people that ever did that for me. And he was like, you're alive to know Jesus and to make him known and to lead people into the holies of holies, like lead people in his presence. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I didn't know, you know, they're sitting there, worship leaders. You're a worship leader. And I'm like, what is that? I don't, okay. You know? And so they extended a platform to me that I did not deserve, that I did not earn, that I did not have any business being a part of, you know, but that's the power of like a covering, honestly, you know?
So fun because, you know, like everyone's like, oh, what's the will of God for my life? And we stress over it and like try to overthink it and plan and prep and pray and all the P's apparently. But why do we stress ourselves out? If you're just following Jesus and be like, I'm here, whatever you need, whatever you want, like he's going to do it.
Yeah.
He doesn't even need us. Like we don't have to make it happen. I love that part of your story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's true of everything that I still do to this day. I'm like, I have no idea why I'm allowed to do this. Still, you know, that's just what it feels like. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't have a degree. I barely graduated high school. Barely. Because
but
I was
you got
a dingbat.
That anointing, girl.
It's just so, it fires me up so much. It's just, that's what I love. Like y'all were talking a minute ago, just about people who don't feel like they can share their story because it's just, you know, they don't feel like they can be used by God because of their past. It's like, no, I'm telling you right now, like read the scriptures. Okay. Nobody was qualified. And everybody that was qualified, he basically told them where to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Very true.
I don't mean that rude. Like I'm not discrediting, you know, schooling and learning. And there are people that are called to these positions and called to pastor and teach and lead. But there's also just the rawness and the authenticity of just going, hey, I was one way and then now I'm this way. And all I know is Jesus happened, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Molly, and we're responsible to steward that.
Yeah,
it doesn't just happen. You can't just live off of experiences either.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, it is fun because at first, man, I was living off experiences. I was having these encounters with the Lord in worship, and it, not even leading worship, just like in the back of churches. I was just like, this is the most like I had never experienced what it feels like to be in God's presence and be fully accepted and loved by him. Mm-hmm. And that's all I ever wanted in my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until I came to know, you know, him, the maker, the creator. And so, it's just fun. It's so fun. I love it. So,
hey friend, we will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful and we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
You're going to have to stop crying because you got me bursting into tears
about everything. I cry about everything. I'm so sorry, y'all.
Like, no, it's okay. It's really okay.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding. So Sheva's worship has always been a very, just always meant a lot in general to mine and my husband's life. When I met him, he was a worship leader. He doesn't lead worship anymore necessarily. He's a production director at our church, but he has a heart for pastoring worship leaders and worship pastors. And so it comes to no surprise that we have a child who is very, let me just put it this way. Ever since meeting you, I have not been able to shake that your story is what our story is with her. And I'm just going to talk about it. Normally I don't like talk about, you know, a specific child, but like, I know there is a call on her life. And I believe with all my heart, it is directly, I think that it has something to do with worship.
Yeah.
I think that she, I know that her voice is incredible and I know that she will have really, really, really bad days, but then she will go in her room and close the door and she will worship.
Yeah.
And it's like, gives me chills just thinking about it because it doesn't make sense. All of that doesn't make sense. But I just want you to know that your testimony is not just speaking to spouses, not just speaking to husbands and wives. Like it has spoken to me since the day that I met you. I have not been able to shake that. Like, I feel like y'all need to meet one day. And I feel like
I would
y'all
love to. Yes.
I don't know. So obviously we know that the enemy hates that. He hates worship. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates what we're doing for the kingdom. He hates what you're doing for the kingdom.
Yeah.
So how specifically has he attacked your life and ministry since you began serving God with your talents and your worship? And how have you combated those lies that, that the enemy will tell you? Because I have noticed very specifically with my daughter, the lies that the enemy comes at her with, she's still very young, but like she believes those lies and we are trying to get that out. Like, I want to know how do you combat those lies? I mean, I know that you didn't find the Lord until you were a little older.
Yeah.
But
I was 23 still, when I got
still
saved.
Being a, you know, a more immature Christian, like tell me about that experience.
So right off the bat, as soon as I started, it feels weird to even call it leading worship at that time, because I was literally just singing songs. I did not realize what was happening. Yeah. And I didn't realize what it was doing in me to enthrone the King of Kings on my, like, I didn't know. I didn't put that together. And so, you know, I also was struggling with a lot of things that the Lord was trying to rid me of. I struggled with addiction at that time and nobody really knew. And so there was a lot of shame in me anyways, specifically like what you're talking about, probably with your daughter of like, you know, the easiest lie is you're not qualified to do this. Mm. Still to this day, what qualifies you to do this? You think that somebody else could just come along with, you know, more experience than you, a cleaner pedigree than you, and a degree, and do your job. And that's a true fact. Like, that's not even, it's so it's fine. But it's like, do I believe the Lord has called me here? Mm-hmm. You know? And so immediately, as soon as I started leading worship, I started having vocal issues. And I had already had voice issues just because of misusing my voice in the past and all that. And so I had nodules and I would have to take vocal breaks frequently. I mean, when you go from singing in the bar all the time to then Sunday mornings, it's a 4 services, you know, 3 a.m, 1 a.m, like it wreaks havoc and it exposes where you're weak. And I had a lot of fear rise up in me right off the bat because, you know, wow, I finally feel like I really love doing this. Like I like, and I surrendered my life to Jesus and, you know, here I am like utilizing what he gave me for his glory. And now my voice is gone, you know, for weeks at a time, I couldn't sing. And, that fear just exposed an idol for me and an identity that, had to be destroyed in order for me to do what was next. And I remember my husband, he asked me, he said, Chev, if you could never sing another note a day in your life, who is Jesus to you? And would you still worship him? Mm. And I didn't know how to answer that question. Mm. Cause I didn't know. I had not discovered. Like I said, I had lived off of a lot of experiences, and experiences only get you so far. You know, they don't sustain you when the storm comes. And so I was challenged in that time to just lock myself in a closet and get in the Word and get to know him in that way, through his Word and through prayer, which are two ways that I was not familiar with. You know, you think of worship and you think of music. Well, worship is all the things. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the scripture? Yeah. I think it's in Nehemiah when Ezra opened up the law, the book of Moses, and all the people fell on their faces and worshiped. Like, they, you know, they were, it's like that there was no music in that, you know, they worshiped because the Word was lifted up. And so, and then just through prayer, like how I talk to him and how, what I believe to be true about him is revealed in how I talk to him or how I don't. Yeah. And so all of those things were, it was a process, to be honest with you, of just like uncovering all of these things that had to die, in me. And getting in the Word changed my life. You know, the experiences, they mark you as a follower of Jesus. And but the Word of God, it just changes a person. And his presence meets you when you open his Word and you start having revelations about what the scripture says. You're like, what? And it's not always like that. You know, sometimes you just read, you know, your chapter or whatever, and you just check off the thing and you're like, okay, I know I've read this one before, right. You know, it's like, okay. But then there's just those days where it's like, oh my word, like this is a revelation from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I found my identity in who Jesus said I was and not what I could do for him. Mm-hmm. And so that helped me tremendously. When it came to combating, you know, the lies with the truth, I had to know who I was in order to fight the fight. And another way I see him still to this day, come after, not, I would say this is for all, for everybody that follows Jesus. The spirit of offense wants you to take the bait and wants you to be offended and wants you to live with a dammed up river of God in you because you're bitter, because you've judged, because there's unforgiveness, and because you're offended. And, you know, I've just learned in ministry, people are people, and they're just going to people all over you all the time. And why are you shocked?
That's great.
What are they going to do? Am I shocked? No. Am I shocked that they said something rude in an attempt to make a conversation? No, it's fine. There's grace for that. Lord knows I've done it 1,000 times, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would say the right off the bat, the voice thing, but also the spirit of offense. I've had to come against that and recognize it first and foremost and realize I've been forgiven a debt I could never repay. So who am I to hold on to any debt from anyone else on behalf of someone else, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's that is so
big, the spirit of offense. Mm-hmm. That's such a problem, like an epidemic, really, in churches. There's so much of that. I like that you're bringing that out. And that is like straight up spiritual warfare from the enemy. Mm-hmm. So Chevis, we're going to take a moment to kind of shift the conversation just a bit. We, like Jenna said, we went to a women's conference at your church and we loved your church. There was something different about the people and just the spirit, like the Lord was very, and he's always present wherever you go. I don't want to say like, oh, he was present here. He's everywhere. But it was very evident that the people there were living like it.
Yeah.
It was just different. And we still talk about it. But I want you to tell us a little more insight to your church, the staff, how y'all work together as a team. Any tips you can share with other churches? Because I just feel like you're doing something right.
Yes, that means a lot to me that y'all noticed that, because we really try to live. I like to say, like, on the outside of our bodies, you know, we're very transparent. We're very just we live out what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the staff here. I've never worked at another church, but I don't know that I ever want to, because of how much I love working with people I work with. There's a lot of history with the people that I work with amongst each other. So a lot of them went to school together. A lot of them did college ministry together. A lot of them just, you know, they've done like the camps that were like, you know, the local GBC camps and all that stuff. Like, they kind of just saw God move in a way that they were marked by together. And that's what I've noticed about a lot of our staff as people have come on and as it's grown. But also one of the things that we elevate above any kind of, because like I said, our church is growing. It's just happens to be in an area that's exploding, you know, population wise. And so more people are coming to church. But the main thing is spiritual growth. If you are not going deeper in your relationship with the Lord, you will not be able to sustain what God is doing. You will tip over like a big old oak tree with shallow roots. Mm-hmm. And so we meet regularly as an all staff once a month. Mm-hmm. And every single time and we meet weekly and talk about stories and stuff, but just like specifically our pastor will get us all together. And it's literally like a word of encouragement, but also challenging us to just grow, challenging us, not just in our faith, like family first, home life. Yes. Like, test everything. Things that have gotten you to this season aren't going to get you to the next one. What do we need to work on? What do you need to, is there problems you need to go to somebody? We're very honest and open staff. Like, you're encouraged if you have it's Matthew 18.
Yeah.
If you have an offense, go deal with it. Go tell the person you're offended.
Yeah.
You know? And you're encouraged to handle it in a way that is biblical and is godly, you know? And that just creates just this sense of freedom, being able to work here and know, like, it's okay. We're not always gonna get along. We're not always gonna have the same ideas, or, you know, we're going to get offended because someone's going to steal yours or someone's more. And it's like, you know, you have all these opportunities to be offended and to be hurt and to be overlooked. And what I love about our staff is, even if we do feel like that, we kind of just confess it and move on, you know?
Yeah.
And so I work very closely with people that I do life with, but also that are like mentors of mine. And so That is, you know, our staff is just, they're special.
I think that's a beautiful thing as well. You do life with them. I think that throughout our country, especially, I don't think that staff and ministry, a lot of the leaders are doing life together outside of the church. And I think that's so important. That's what Jesus did with the disciples. You did life. Yeah. You're discipling each other. You know, no one is greater than the other. You are confessing, you are loving, you are encouraging, you are sometimes getting frustrated. How do you deal with that? Like you can't get better if you don't have offense with people and learn how to communicate with them that you are frustrated and then how to deal with when someone's frustrated with you. If everything looks perfect, it's probably because you're not communicating. I mean, it's the same as marriage, you know?
Yes. 1000%.
So I think that's like a really, I mean, I hope that listeners hear that and know that it's not a perfect church. You could tell after story after story that it's not a perfect church and that it's not always a perfect staff, but you are literally moving in the same direction and diving deep into the word. So,
And the fact that we're not perfect is what makes it easy to be a part of.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like, there is no expectation for me to get it right all the time. And when I do screw something up, when I do handle a situation incorrectly, you know, when you lead people, you know, I've said things I shouldn't have said. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm very justified in what I say. I'm going to die on that hill. And somebody's like, yeah, no, you're not right. And I'm like, no. Okay. You know, and so it's like just being able to listen and receive, it just produces growth that you don't get if you don't hear the hard thing.
Yeah.
And that's just so normal for our staff. Yeah. Like staff just knows, like, you're going to get confronted and it's going to be okay. And it's going to, you're going to be better. I mean, if you don't want to be confronted, then just stay like you are for 20 years, whatever. Exactly. Where you go, you know? And so it's like, it is hard to hear the hard things.
Oh, it is. But, 100%. You know,
it brings about so much fruit and that just outweighs it.
Yeah. So. Well, Chevis, I am just so happy that you were on the podcast today. And for our listeners, you don't even know, we were having Jesus time on, you know, outside of the interview, just talking with Chevis in prayer time. And you are just a beacon of light. And we're honored that you took time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And we are praying that your testimony that we've talked about today will go out to so many people of just the encouragement that you've given and the vulnerability. God will bless you for it. And we'll, I know he already is, but he will continue. Mm-hmm. But before you leave us, which is going to be very sad, we have three questions that if you've ever listened to a podcast, you know, we have three questions and they're great. Are you ready?
They are.
I'm ready.
Okay. Go.
Hit me with them.
First of those final three questions is, if you could go back and give your pre-worship leader self one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say to trust the process. I read this little quote in this book, and it was talking about how if the farmer listened to the plant that it planted, it would never make it long enough to bear fruit. Like when you plant a little seed and it sprouts and it's little and it's raining and it's like, I'm going to drown. Help me. Help me. It's storming. Well, the farmer just leaves it there because the farmer knows what it's made to do. And so trust the process. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. You're going to hear hard things. But just trust it. Trust the process that God takes you through of sanctification. And to he knows how he made you. He knows who you are. And so just trust him.
I like that little analogy. That was so cute.
Isn't that fun? Have y'all ever read Bait of Satan?
You might get thundered and lightning on.
You know, they're going to drown.
Have some tornadic action happening.
But no rain, no flower.
No rain, no flower.
Know what I'm saying?
Hello.
I don't know where that country accent just came from, but
praise him.
Within your soul.
In my soul.
You were talking about farmers. You were feeling it.
There we go. Okay. Number two. What do you do for fun by yourself or with your spouse to get your mind off of all things ministry?
So this looks a lot different than it used to, obviously. So right now, like for fun, I will just go and walk around Walmart for 2 hours by myself on a Friday morning after I drop my kids off.
I like to do that too, except I don't go Walmart. Aimlessly.
I do because I don't have anywhere else to go, and I don't like Target all the time because it's too
Walmart
expensive.
Your Walmart might be safer than our Walmart.
It probably is. Oh, yeah, it is. I know where y'all live. Yes, that is a true fact.
So I go to Target, even though I did have a man follow me around last week.
I was going to say, is it safer? It's probably not.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just like to be by myself as much as possible. So I'll, you know, go home and spend like Fridays are my day off. So, and I'm by myself. My husband's at work. So, and sometimes we'll try to get a little date in without having to pay childcare on Friday. He gets off at 12:30. So we'll like be like, oh, should we run here and eat? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, it's like some McDonald's like restaurant that's not, you know. Fancy.
We feel that
because it's quick, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're right there.
I mean, I'm like, at the end of the day, do I want to pay $40 for a burger or $5?
Mm-hmm. Agree.
It's so true.
So,
true.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you ready for your last and final question?
Yes. Yep.
If you could tell the church congregation one thing without reservation and have them really listen and respond, what would you say? Chev, it's your turn. Go.
I thought about this for a long time, and all I could come up with is to just say to them, we are doing the best that we can. You know, we're human beings, we're people, and we're doing the best that we can. And, you know, I know you do it different. I know that your perception is your reality, but your church leadership is doing the best that they can. Mm-hmm. They're doing what they know with what they have. And if you are called to that place, and if God told you to come here, trust your leadership. Yeah, you know?
That's good.
Man, that's good.
All you churches hear that. Okay, just make sure.
Just leave that awkward pause in, Jenna, so they can get the full feeling of the
pregnant pause.
I will.
Pregnant.
I'll do that.
Pregnant. Chevis, you have been such a blessing to us today, and we know that you will be a blessing to the world that will hear.
The world.
The world.
I mean,
she thinks we have probably more followers than we do.
I mean, if other countries listen, that would be the world.
So
here
true.
We go. Here we go again, being right. It's a good day, Jessica. We love you, Chevis.
I love you so much.
And thank you for just sharing your testimony. And hopefully we'll be able to see you soon
in person.
It'll be so fun.
I love you, guys.
Bye.
Bye, friends.
Okay, friends, if you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at. From dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between, there is something for everyone.
And last but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.